Rely upon thy dear Son, in whom thou art well pleased, and that it may be for the comfort and for the salvation of those souls of whom thou dost say, thou hearest the humble prayer. O Lord, that thou may hear their cry, and that thou may open for a moment the blessedness of thine only begotten Son, and what thou wilt be in and through him to the most undeserving and wretched sinner. Look upon all thy children. O, feed them this day, and wilt thou keep us also, for thou knowest the many ways wherein it is possible that we are making an error, that we are making a mistake. And there are so many byways wherein it is possible for us to walk, and our heart that is so deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Oh, wilt thou lead us then into all thy truth? And wilt thou keep us upon that pathway that is straight and narrow, that must go down through the valleys, that must go straight up over the mountains, and that is not able to make a way around. Lord, that thou may keep thy children, and may thou remember each and every one of us in our walk in this life. For thou knowest the vanity of our hearts. And then for one it is the one thing, and for another it is another thing that is drawing us in this world. Lord, could it please thee to stop a man upon his journey here below, upon that broad way, wherein we are seeking it in all this world, and when we are enjoying everything that is of the flesh and of the world? And wilt thou cause us to turn again with a great need, oh, that we may feel something of the burden of sin, and that we may go over this world smiting upon our breast and crying out in our need, oh God, be merciful to me, the sinner. Do remember all that cannot gather with us, all the afflicted and all the sick ones, those that are old, those that are in the nursing home, and those that are cared for by others, those that are handicapped. Remember her that lies in the hospital. Wilt thou visit her this day? Oh, she has received another setback, but thou knowest all the needs of her body. Lord, that thou may strengthen and heal her if it could please thee. Oh, that thou may remember her with a word from above this thy holy day. Remember also thy servant, when he is not able yet to bring thy word. Wilt thou help, wilt thou heal, and wilt thou encourage him also in this thy day. Be with all thy truly sent servants, and wilt thou feed them also from above. Oh, that we may receive something of the unction of thy Holy Spirit in the bringing of thy word, and that there may be fruit upon it. Wilt thou look upon our youth, our children, our young people? Wilt thou remember them in the needs, in the cares, in the wants, which are all known unto thee? Wilt thou keep them from the ways of sin? Wilt thou be also with the family, the wife of this our brother that is to be installed? Lord, that thou may grant her also from above what is necessary in the way wherein thou dost lead once again. And also his mother, his in-laws, his children, grandchildren. Lord, that thou may bless, that thou may work also in the midst of his family. Look upon us then in this day, in this morning. Lord, we ask thee for thy help, for thy guidance, for a little freedom. Wilt thou take away the chains? Wilt thou grant unto us a little opening? that thy word may have in this morning free course, that there may be a little pulling, that there may be a little hunger, a little thirst, and that thou may use thy word as thou dost see fit. Forgive all our sins for Jesus' sake. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 249, stanzas 1, 2, 3, and 5. Because thy trust is God alone, and thy refuge is the highest one, no evil shall upon thee come, nor plague approach thy guarded home. We announce, the Lord willing, that the Youth Day Conference is to be held this coming Saturday. If there are those that desire to attend and have not already registered, please do so as soon as possible. The last collection today is for the Calvin Christian School. Psalter 249, stanzas 1, 2, 3, and 5. Congregation, the words of our text for this morning hour can be found in that portion that was read to you, Matthew 16, thereof the 12th verse. Matthew 16, verse 12. Then understood they how that he bade them not beware of the leaven of bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. So far, the words of our text. A twofold instruction of Christ to his disciples. First, a gentle rebuke. Then understood they how that he bade them not beware of the leaven of bread. Second, a solemn warning, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. Thus, a twofold instruction of Christ to his disciples. First, a gentle rebuke. Second, a solemn warning. It is because we have taken no bread. That was the disciples. They are looking for a cause. It is because. That is why. They are looking for the cause of what? They are looking for the cause of words. Why those words were spoken. That is why that the Lord Jesus has spoken those words. And what words were they in that they were looking for the cause of? That Christ has spoken. Then Jesus said unto them, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. How is that possible that they have attributed those words to such a cause that they say it is because that we have taken no bread? That is because they say, as we can read beforehand, they had forgotten to take bread. And now the Lord Jesus, he speaks about leaven. And our children will know that leaven, that has to do with bread. And thus, the disciples, they are here making a connection. Their first thoughts, they are about earthly things. They are not about heavenly. They are not about spiritual things. Thus, we have the remaining carnality of the people of the Lord while they are here upon this earth. And they reasoned among themselves, saying it is because we have taken no bread. Thus they reason. They go back and forth, and then finally they come here to this conclusion. The Lord Jesus, he is opening our fault to us. He is showing to us that we have forgotten something, our shortcomings, and now we have nothing to eat. Which, when Jesus perceived, that sounds as if that the Lord didn't know about it, but finally he heard them, but that is not so. When Jesus perceived, the word perceived, that means to know. And there is nothing in the original that is hinting at the fact that the Lord Jesus did not know, but it is more Jesus knowing. Thus, they are trying to whisper to each other, the disciples, boys and girls. They reason back and forth. They do not ask the Lord Jesus, but they whisper together, and they make their conclusion. But we read that Jesus knowing, Jesus, knowing, even though they didn't tell him, knowing all that is living within their hearts. Which when Jesus perceived, he said unto them, O ye of little faith, why reason ye among yourselves, because ye have brought no bread? O ye of little faith, that is what he calls them. That is the name that he gives to them. That is the title that he gives to them. O ye of little faith, that is his own disciples, that is his own people. How often do God's children not find themselves in that name? That if there is anything, that there is but such a little faith. And we can hear over and over again how grieved that the Lord Jesus is. Because he says they must enter into heaven, into that kingdom of God as a little child. And what is now so peculiar about a little child? Trust. Trust. So easy is the life of that little child. And so easy would the Lord have the life of his children to be in dependence upon him here below. Which when Jesus perceived, he said unto them, O ye of little faith, why reason ye among yourselves because ye have brought no bread? Do ye not yet understand? Neither remember the 5 loaves of the 5,000 and how many baskets ye took up. Neither the 7 loaves of the 4,000 and how many baskets ye took up. How is it that you do not understand that I spake it not to you concerning bread, and that ye should beware of the Pharisees, of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees? In the Gospel of Mark, he says that the Lord Jesus asked them, and he says, have ye your heart yet hardened? Having eyes, see ye not? And having ears, hear ye not, and do ye not remember? He says, you are like blind people. You are like deaf people. You are my people. You are like those who cannot perceive anything. You are like those who have no memory. And then Mark says that he actually asked them that question. When I break those 5 loaves among that 5,000, how many baskets did ye take up? And then they had to answer him. 12. And 4 loaves among the 7,000, and how many baskets did you take up? And they said unto him, 7. How is it that you do not understand? That was the custom of the disciples, that they would buy bread, because that is the means. And then they would take that bread with them when they went from place to place on their journeys, that they may have something to eat. Surely those disciples, they have not literally forgotten that time that the Lord Jesus has broken those loaves for that 5,000. And when he has broken and multiplied those loaves for that 7,000. When you would ask them, surely that they would be able to tell you what a great miracle that the Lord Jesus has performed. No, they have not literally forgotten, but their circumstances, they are now different. And what is so different about their circumstances? Well, there is a responsibility that they had. And there is now a breach in that responsibility. Because they had never been expected to take bread for that 5,000. and they had never been expected to take bread for that 4,000, then it is understandable that the Lord, if he will feed them, he has to work a great miracle. But now this was the task of the disciples. Now they were supposed to bring that bread along, and they have not done so. Thus it is now their own fault that they have nothing to eat. And now from the side of those disciples, then it is understandable that they say, will the Lord now help? Is the Lord now going to give to us bread from heaven? When our own faults and when our own guilt and when our own shortcomings, they are all coming in between. But how is that from the side of Christ? Do you know what we read here? He mentions nothing of their fault. He mentions nothing of their guilt. That is all swallowed up in him. Every shortcoming, every fault of the people of the Lord, that is now all going to be swallowed up in that mediator who is going his way unto that cross. Thus, he says nothing. O parents, does something of that patience of Christ also live in your heart? Does something of that patience of Christ also show in our life? Also, when we have shortcomings in our children, they need to be instructed, yes. But now every fault and every shortcoming, oh, look here at that example that the Lord Jesus is giving, because we are so full of them. That is, must also be the way of the deacons, because men need sometimes yes, to be instructed. But now it is not to say that you have mismanaged, and therefore it is your own fault. No. But something of that patience of the Lord Jesus concerning the shortcomings of all of his children, that may be evident, far be it from the Lord Jesus to rebuke his disciples over this. It is actually the very opposite. Actually, he rebukes them that they have a too much care, that they have too much concern about those natural things of this world. Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part that shall never be taken away from her. They have forgotten to take bread. Oh, what a wonder. If a man has forgotten his natural needs because he was so taken up with the spiritual needs, because he is so taken up with the Word of God, because he is so taken up with the discussions of the Lord Jesus. Was that ever in your life? That you have been so engrossed in those spiritual things that actually you have forgotten all about those natural things. Yes, we must be diligent, but do you think, if then we had forgotten in such a way that the Lord would not provide? He does not rebuke his disciples for forgetting bread. Do you know why he rebukes them? He rebukes them because they did not remember how he helped them time and again. That is true. They had no bread. But they had the fountain of bread. They had the provider of bread. They had the one who was able to make bread and to give bread when they had no bread and no ability to provide for themselves. Oh, ye of little faith. Why reason ye among yourselves because ye have brought no bread? How great are sometimes the concerns of God's people about all the needs and the cares that are in this world to the grief of the Lord. He says it is because of the weakness of your faith. Take no thought for your life. What you shall eat, what you shall drink, what you shall put on. The life is more than meat, and the body than raiment. Only look at the sparrows. Only look at the lilies. Peter says, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. But now for the practice. Then understood they how that he bade them not beware of the leaven of bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. What do we say? We say beware, or we may say, boys and girls, beware, that is, be aware. We say, be aware that you take bread with you. Be aware that you care that there is enough to eat. And what does the Lord say? He says something else. He says you need not to beware so much of this because that is secondary. He says, I will provide you for all of those things. He says you must be aware of something else. He says, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. He says, that is so much greater. That is our second thought. Thus he gives a solemn warning to his disciples. The leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. What is leaven? Leaven that causes fermentation, children. Then your mother, if she will make bread, she will put a little bit, just a little bit of that leaven in that bread. Mix it in with that dough. And that little bit of leaven, that will affect that entire loaf. That word leaven, that is used in a symbolic way in the Word of God. One time we read that it is used in a positive way. But most times that we read it, that is used in a negative way. Leaven, that it is speaking about sin. Leaven, that it is speaking about that human depravity, evil, corruption. Then you only need just a little bit of that leaven. And that leaven that is spreading itself through that whole being. Paul, he says, know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. Thus, often when we say, well, something is just a little bit,
then we do not need to worry about it. Then it is to us not a danger. But Paul says no, because that little bit of leaven, he says that is a very dangerous thing. Thus Christ, he speaks here about being aware, beware of that leaven, of that Pharisees and of those Sadducees. You must beware that it is in there. And even though you are not able to see it, and even though it seems like it is just a little bit, then beware of it. Be aware of it more than you are aware of all of the natural things in this life which will be provided unto you. Beware of those moral evils. Beware of the devices of the devil concerning spiritual things, because that has not to do with your temporal welfare alone, but also with your eternal welfare. The leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees, those Pharisees, they were pretenders. They were pretenders of great devotion. They had a great form of religion. It was very important to them that men would see their religion. The Lord Jesus says that they were standing in the corners of the streets, and they were extending their prayers for that reason, that all men could see how holy and what religious persons that they are. The Sadducees, they were also pretenders. And they were pretenders that they were searchers for the truth, and that they searched for that truth in an impartial way. But the Lord Jesus, he says elsewhere, which is hypocrisy. Thus, it was only pretension. It was a way of works that was covered with a cover of an outward religion. Thus, when the Lord Jesus says, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees, then he is speaking about being aware of those errors, not in the world, but those errors which are living within that church itself. Thus, those errors that are mixed in with the truth. And when they are mixed in with the truth, then they are often so hidden to us. Those errors in the church, they are much more dangerous than those errors that can be found on the outside, which are to us so very plain. He says they are like leaven. He says that they are errors which just a little bit, when they are not taken out of the way, then they are spreading themselves. And that is why they are so very dangerous, because they are fermenting without our notice until they are affecting the whole body. What is necessary for fermentation? Then you need to have the right conditions. You will see children, if your mother will do that, then she will take very special care, because there must be also a certain amount of moisture, and then it has to have just the right temperature. Then she will not put it right away in the oven to rise, then it will be too hot. It will not go in the refrigerator, no. Then it has to have just the right temperature, maybe covered over with a little cloth in just a warm place. And then that leaven, that can work. It can work and it can spread. And soon you will see the effects of that leaven, because that dough that will begin to rise. Is a candle dangerous? What do you think, boys and girls? Is a candle dangerous? You say, we have them. They are not dangerous. No, not by itself. But if it will now be very, very dry, and if those conditions are just right, then you bring in by that candle something which can very easily burn, and you give that a little bit of breath, a little bit of oxygen. You know what James says? He says, behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. Does error? Where does error grow? Where does error spread? Where does error thrive? It thrives in our wicked, our evil, our fleshly hearts. That is where it thrives. Error is pleasing to my flesh. The truth that is not pleasing to my flesh. And especially if that error that may be mixed a little bit with the truth to settle my conscience, then it is so very pleasing to me, and there it may grow. There it may thrive. There it may flourish. We read of the Pharisees that they were pleased with themselves. And they have thanked the Lord that they were not as other men are. That leaven, the Lord Jesus says, beware. What does God's word begin with? It begins with a blessed creation. Behold, it was very good. How does it continue? Third chapter. And that awful fall. And we see that throughout the rest of the Bible, the Holy Scriptures. That depravity, that complete depravity of mankind. And now we say that every religion and that every doctrine that is denying this reality, the reality of the complete depravity of man, that is something that grows here. It grows in our heart. It thrives in our heart, even as leaven. That can be so hidden, that can be so covered over, so that it is very difficult for a man even to detect that it is there. But Satan will not disturb it. Why not? Because that he is actually placing it there, or to make it to grow there as leaven in that heart of yours and of mine. That is the perfect conditions for every evil to grow, for every sin to grow, for every error to grow. Oh, that doctrine that denies that total depravity of man is a doctrine that does not need Christ. Pharisees did not need him. The Sadducees did not need him. And if we are not depraved, we don't need him either. Because we can still make ourselves somewhat better. Congregation, beware. Beware, the Lord Jesus says, of the leaven. Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. Oh, beware of that religion. Beware of that doctrine that is denying that total depravity of man. And because it is denying that total depravity, that it is also not needing that mighty Savior. I mean the power of that Savior, that divine power. Beware of that doctrine that is not cutting off everything from the side of man, that does not cut off all his work, that does not cut off all his life, that does not cut off man in his so-called righteousness, that does not cut off man with his pretended strength, with his human power. Oh, beware of that doctrine that does not cut him off, because when he is not cut off, that Savior never will become precious. That Savior will never become necessary. That Savior never will become suitable to such a soul. Oh, beware. Beware, the Lord Jesus says, of that doctrine, of that religion, wherein a man never becomes a sinner before God. Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees, who were grieved, who were offended, and when he sat and ate with publicans and sinners. Beware of that leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees, whom the Lord Jesus was pointing out in that elder brother who would not go in, because that father had showed mercy to an undeserving man who had spent all his living with harlots. Then he thought he should be cast out. But the Lord Jesus received him. Beware, the Lord Jesus says. Oh, it lives in our hearts. Beware. Beware of that religion that is despising the poor and the needy. Beware of that religion that is despising that man who cannot live up to the law of God, who has to say with the apostle, "Oh, wretched man that I am." Oh, that can be so subtle, because the name of the Lord Jesus can be on our lips, and such a doctrine still in our hearts, because he says that name can be on our lips, but our heart that can be so very far from him. Congregation, if we have never gone lost, then we also cannot be saved. Not when we repeat that name of Jesus over and over and over again. Then it is to us only a name of 5 letters. And we cannot die with such a Jesus. Beware. Beware of the leaven, hidden, working, subtly, unknown, of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. Beware of that religion which is only objective, and which denies or minimizes the need to know it in an experiential way. Do you know what the Lord Jesus said? He said, "Except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone." Except it fall into the ground and die. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. You know what Paul said? He said, I was alive without the law once. Are you still alive? That was when he was a Pharisee. What was it when he was a Pharisee? It was law, law, law. And later, he says, actually, I was without the law. It was law, 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 but I did not know the law. And then he said, the law came. And when that law came, sin revived. Then he got a burden on his back. And he said, I died. That is to know it. That is congregation against our flesh, because then we have to lose our life. And Satan, he says, skin for skin. All that a man hath, he will give for our life. But what do? We hold on, and we hold on, and we hold on. And do you know what the Lord Jesus says? He says, beware. Beware. Because he that will save his life will lose it. But he that will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. Beware. Beware of the leaven, of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. Beware of that doctrine of Arminianism. Beware of that doctrine of free will. Do you know what it speaks of? It speaks only of our responsibility. Do you know what it never speaks about? It never speaks about our inability. Never. So subtle. Speak to them. Ask them. They say, oh, yes, we need the Holy Spirit. That sounds good. It is not good. It is so close. And it is as that leaven. Because they say then that Holy Spirit is given to everyone. You have it. We all have it. We have it out of common grace. Yes, it's necessary, but we have it already. Oh, congregation. It is so pleasing to our flesh. So pleasing. But the truth does not live in our flesh. It does not grow in our flesh. It does not flourish in our flesh. Our flesh has to die. Beware. Beware of that three covenant doctrine. Why? Oh, that is coming even ever closer. So, so close. But what does it do? It is including in that covenant of grace those who are not in it. They are not in it. It is making that covenant of grace wider than it really is. That it is not only for God's people. And that covenant of grace is not saving anymore. Even though the promises, if they belong to you, then we will see what you will do with it. Oh, how close. Beware. Beware, congregation, of that duty religion. Not a strictness. We do not have to beware of strictness. No, but we have to beware of that religion that builds a man up in his duties and that actually makes faith itself a duty, on account of which a man is climbing unto heaven. Yes, we must believe. Oh, yes, we have such a duty. But it is not the act of faith that saves a soul. It is the substance. It is the object. That is Christ. Beware. Beware of the leaven that is working subtly. The leaven of the Pharisees. The leaven of the Sadducees. Beware, congregation, that our form of religion that is not so satisfying our conscience that we can go easy over the world every day. Beware. Beware. Because Solomon says, I saw the wicked buried who had come and gone from the place of the holy. What is our little show of Sunday religion before the Lord? What is it? It is a stench. The Lord says, I will not away with it. Your new moons and your Sabbaths, they are an abomination to me. Because it has not our heart. Beware, the Lord says, of such a leaven. Beware. Oh, beware that we are not hiding behind the sovereignty of God. Do you hide behind it? Do you say, the Lord must do it? I cannot do anything. Beware. As if the Lord is guilty for our sin. When we will not bow before him, as if the Lord is not righteous to take a man and to condemn him forever and forever, who will not acknowledge his guilt, who will not acknowledge his sin. Beware. Oh, beware of the leaven, because it is working. It is so quiet, and it is affecting that whole loaf, that whole body. Beware of that religion that is relying on the church, that is relying on the minister. Beware of it. Do you know what the Pharisees said? Just believe us. That is what the Roman Catholic Church says. Just believe us. Congregation, how do you know I don't deceive you? How do you know that, young people? How do you know I don't deceive you? Are you going to stake your eternal welfare on my words as a man? What if I am mistaken? Then what? How do you know that is your responsibility? Because that authority of the church that is based upon the authority of Christ, it is based upon the authority of the Word of God. You have that. Those Bereans, they did not just believe Paul. No. But they searched the Word of God daily to see if these things were so, if that was really true. And therefore we read, that is what the Bible says, therefore, many of them believed. Then understood they how that he bade them not beware of the leaven of bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. No, not to beware of the leaven of bread. Not for all the things of this world, because sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. and David. He says, I was young and now I'm old. I have not seen to this day the righteous forsaken or his seed begging bread. But beware, oh, be aware. Be aware of that leaven of the Pharisees and that Sadducees that is living within your heart, that flesh-pleasing error. The flesh-pleasing error that leads a man to his eternal destruction. Congregation, may the Lord open our eyes that we may be given to see what our great misery is. Our great misery and acknowledgement that we have sinned against God and that we are lying in our death state, dead in trespasses and in sins. Why? Do you know what we read in the Word of God? We read that where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. When a man will only acknowledge his transgression, then there is an ocean. There is an ocean of grace for the chiefest of the sinners. Amen. Let us sing Psalter 121, 2 and 3. They gained not the land by the edge of the sword. Their own arm to them could no safety afford. By thy right hand saved, but thy right hand saved, and the light of thy face, because of thy favor and wonderful grace. 2 and 3 of Psalter 121. We will now read the form of ordination, just the part of the elders. You can find it on page 76 or 146 in the back of your Psalter. Beloved Christians, you know that we have several times published unto you the names of our brother here present, who is chosen to the office of elder in this church, to the end that we might know whether any person had ought to allege why he should not be ordained in his office. And whereas no one hath appeared before us who hath alleged anything lawful against him, we shall therefore at present in the name of the Lord proceed to his ordination. But first, you who are to be ordained and all those who are here present shall attend to a short declaration from the Word of God concerning the institution and the office of elder. Of the elders, it is to be observed that the word elder or eldest, which is taken from the Old Testament and signifieth a person who is placed in an honorable office of government over others, is applied to two sorts of persons who minister in the church of Jesus Christ. For the apostle saith, the elders that rule well shall be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the word and doctrine. Hence it is evident that there were two sorts of elders in the apostolic church, the former whereof did labor in the word and doctrine, and the latter did not. First were the ministers of the word and pastors who preached the gospel and administered the sacraments. But the others who did not labor in the word and still did serve in the church bore a particular office, namely, they had the oversight of the church and ruled the same with the ministers of the word. For Paul, Romans 12, having spoken of the ministry of the word and also of the office of distribution or deaconship, speaketh afterwards particularly of this office, saying, he that ruleth, let him do it with diligence. Likewise, in another place, he counts government among the gifts and offices which God hath instituted in the church, 1 Corinthians 12. And thus we see in that these sorts of ministers are added to the others who preach the gospel to aid and assist them, as in the Old Testament, the common Levites were to the priests in the service of the tabernacle, in those things which they could not perform alone. Notwithstanding, the offices always remain distinct one from the other. Moreover, it is proper that such men should be joined to the ministers of the word and the government of the church, to the end that thereby all tyranny and lording may be kept out of the church of God, which may sooner creep in when the government is placed in the hands of one alone or of a very few. And thus the ministers of the word, together with the elders, form a body or assembly, being as a council of the church, representing the whole church, to which Christ alludes when he saith, tell the church, which can in no wise be understood of all and every member of the church in particular, but very properly of those who govern the church, out of which they are chosen. Therefore, in the first place, the office of elders is, together with the ministers of the word, to take the oversight of the church which is committed to them, and diligently to look whether every one properly deports himself in his confession and conversation, to admonish those who behave themselves disorderly, and to prevent as much as possible the sacraments from being profaned, also to act, according to the Christian discipline, against the impenitent and receive the penitent again into the bosom of the church, as doth not only appear from the above-mentioned saying of Christ, but also from many other places of Holy Writ, as 1 Corinthians 5 and 2 Corinthians 2, that these things are not alone entrusted to one or two persons, but to many, who are ordained thereto. Secondly, since the apostle enjoineth that all things shall be done decently and in order among Christians, and that no other persons ought to serve in the church of Christ but those who are lawfully called according to the Christian ordinance, therefore it is also the duty of the elders to pay regard to it, and in all occurrences which relate to the welfare and good order of the church, to be assistant with their good counsel and advice to the ministers of the word, yea, also to serve all Christians with advice and consolation. Thirdly, it is also the duty particularly to have regard unto the doctrine and conversation of the ministers of the word, to the end that all things may be directed to the edification of the church, and that no strange doctrine be taught, according to that which we read, Acts 20, where the apostle exhorteth to watch diligently against the wolves which might come into the sheepfold of Christ, for the performance of which the elders are in duty bound diligently to search the word of God and continually be meditating on the mysteries of faith. I now ask him that will be installed into his office to please arise. To the end, therefore, beloved brother, Mr. James Kreft, that everyone may hear that you are willing to take your office upon you, you shall answer to the following questions. And in the first place, I ask you whether you do not feel in your heart that you are lawfully called of God's church, and consequently of God himself, to this your holy office. Secondly, whether you believe the books of the Old and New Testament to be the only word of God and the perfect doctrine of salvation, and do reject all doctrines repugnant thereto. Thirdly, whether you promise, agreeably to said doctrine, faithfully according to your ability, to discharge your office as it is here described, as elder in the government of the church, together with the ministers of the word. You also jointly promise to walk in all godliness and to submit yourself, in case you should become remiss in your duty, to the admonition of the church. What is your answer? Yes. The Almighty God and Father replenish you with his grace, and that you may faithfully and fruitfully discharge your office. Mr. Kreft, we have heard for a few moments the words of the Lord Jesus to his disciples, that they should beware not of the leaven of bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. You are not a stranger to the office. Then you will also not be a stranger to the concerns of being an office bearer. We can read in God's word of a Moses who said to the Lord, I am of a slow speech, I am of a slow tongue. We can read about a Jeremiah. He says, Lord, I'm a child. Then I cannot do that work. And then it is a good thing to feel something of the greatness of that work and of our own weakness and impossibility from our own side. But the Lord said to Jeremiah, say not that I am a child. He said, I have put my words in your mouth, and you shall go to whomsoever I will send you. It is another thing than entrance into the office to be in the office for some time, because when we have some experience of what it is to be in the office, then time and again, then we are coming across our own shortcomings. And then we will feel time and again our personal guilt. And then it is something else when we are going to the Lord to ask the Lord for his help. Because when we feel something of how short that we come in our own life and how undeserving and how unworthy that we are to receive that help, then it is not so easy to bend our knees so often. But we can read here in this chapter how that the Lord Jesus, when the disciples had forgotten to take bread, and that there was not one word that was mentioned by him in their rebuke. Thus, how necessary is that blood of Christ. When we are in that office, that all our guilt and that all our shortcomings may be removed by him. And then he says, beware not of the leaven of bread. I will care for all the needs when I am placed in that office. But he says, beware of that leaven, of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. And we have read something of that also in the form, that you have that duty to take care that no strange doctrine be taught, and that there are no wolves coming into that sheepfold of Christ. And now there is this people, and they are looking to you. They are looking in a special way to the elders, to the minister. They are looking that those wolves, they are kept out of that sheepfold of Christ. And they are expecting that this will be done. They are depending on this. And from our side, then we can often feel this as a great impossibility. But we hope that the Lord may give to you much wisdom to be wise as a serpent, to be as harmless as a dove. The strength for that office, but also that blessed dependence upon him who is able to give you everything that you stand in need of. Congregation, we ask you to arise and to sing Psalter 368, 4 and 5 on behalf of Mr. Kraft. 368, 4 and 5, I will abundantly provide for Zion's good. The Lord hath said, and what follows, 4 and 5, 368 standing. Therefore, ye elders, be diligent in the government of the church which is committed to you, and the ministers of the word. Be also as watchmen over the house and city of God, faithful to admonish and to caution every one against his ruin. Take heed that purity of doctrine and godliness of life be maintained in the church of God. And ye deacons, be diligent in collecting the alms, prudent and cheerful in the distribution of the same. Assist the oppressed, provide for the true widows and orphans. Show liberality unto all men, but especially to the household of faith. Be ye all, with one accord, faithful in your offices, and hold the mystery of the faith in a pure conscience, being good examples unto all the people. In so doing, you will purchase to yourselves a good degree and great boldness in the faith which is in Christ Jesus, and hereafter enter into the joy of our Lord. On the other hand, beloved Christians, receive these men as the servants of God. Count the elders that rule well worthy of double honor. Give yourselves willingly to their inspection and government. Provide the deacons with good means to assist the indigent. Be charitable, ye rich. Give liberally and contribute willingly. And ye poor, be poor in spirit. And deport yourselves respectfully towards your benefactors. Be thankful to them and avoid murmuring. Follow Christ for the food of your souls, but not for bread. Let him that hath stolen or hath been burdensome to his neighbor steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the things which are good, that he may give to him that needeth. Each of you doing these things in your respective callings shall receive of the Lord the reward of righteousness. But since we are unable of ourselves, let us call upon the name of the Lord. O Lord God and Heavenly Father, we thank Thee that it hath pleased Thee for the better edification of Thy church to ordain in it, besides the ministers of the word, rulers and assistants, by whom Thy church may be preserved in peace and prosperity, and the indigent assisted, and that Thou hast at present granted us in this place men who are of good testimony, and we hope endowed with Thy Spirit. We beseech Thee, replenish them more and more with such gifts as are necessary for them in their ministration, with the gifts of wisdom, courage, discretion, and benevolence, and to the end that every one may in his respective offices acquit himself as is becoming, the elders in taking diligent heed unto the doctrine and conversation, in keeping out the wolves from the sheepfold of Thy beloved Son, and in admonishing and reproving disorderly persons. In like manner, the deacons, in carefully receiving and liberally and prudently distributing of the alms to the poor, and in comforting them with Thy holy word. Give grace both to the elders and deacons, that they may persevere in their faithful labor, and never become weary by reason of any trouble, pain, or persecution of the world. Grant also, especially Thy divine grace to this people, over whom they are placed, that they may willingly submit themselves to the good exhortations of the elders, counting them worthy of honor for their work's sake. Give also unto the rich liberal hearts towards the poor, and to the poor grateful hearts towards those who help and serve them, to the end that every one, acquitting himself of his duty, Thy holy name may thereby be magnified in the kingdom of Thy Son, Jesus Christ, enlarged, in whose name we conclude our prayers, saying, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen. Our closing psalter is number 134, stanzas 2 and 3. Let Zion now rejoice, and all her children sing. Let them with thankfulness proclaim the judgments of their King. Maybe we better sing all three, 1, 2, and 3, for the sake of the collection. 134, all stanzas.
Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.